Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A., coming at you, as I love to do, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Number to call up, as always, is 866-967-6887. That's 866-967-6887, 866-96. POTUS, here with you for the next 2 hours. Feel free to call in. Rahm Emanuel, former chief of staff for the White House during the Obama administration, former mayor of the city of Chicago, potential Democratic candidate for the presidency of the United States in 2028, based on what we've been seeing him do lately in terms of op-eds and appearances on podcasts and things of that nature. He will be on the show at the top of hour number two. This is a difficult opening monologue that I'm about to give. Because to be quite honest with you, usually in preparation for my shows and stuff like that, I do my research and, you know, do what the information essentially tells me and convey my thoughts to the listeners and the viewers out there. This is not that. This is me speaking purely from the heart, speaking about issues pertaining to all Americans, of course, but specifically the Black community, for this particular opening monologue, in light of what we have been seeing going on. We know that the president is in China. We know that his popularity is diminishing before our very eyes. We saw the redistricting issue take fold, particularly with the Supreme Court's ruling a couple of weeks ago, and how many folks, particularly in the Black community, feels this is the compromising and the clear scaling back of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And that is something that we have been talking about ad nauseum. I'm here to tell you that although those feelings are legitimate and that clearly the numbers of Black representatives are threatening to diminish, and it is a valid concern, make no mistake about it, because I dedicated an entire show to it, let me be the first to say, to all of us who are concerned about that issue, if you indeed desire to compromise the potency and the power of this president and this administration, and you want to do so in an effective legislative fashion as opposed to emotion, I'm strongly advising you not to focus too much on that issue. Because it ain't going to work. When I sit here and I talk about these issues, I'm talking about about winning. I'm not caught up in my feelings. I'm caught up in doing something about it. I am a person that does not like autonomy in our government. If we got a Republican in the White House, I damn sure want Democrats in one, if not both, houses of Congress, because I want that power checked. That's how I am. Because I don't trust one party rule in this country, because we've got a bunch of gluttonous people, too damn greedy, and ultimately too selfish, having proven time after time after time again that they can't be trusted to look out for the interests of the American people above looking out for the interests of themselves. That has been my position for many years, long before I had a political show, long before I talked politics. If you asked me, that's what I told you. It hasn't changed. But the reason why that's important is because as we look at a plethora of issues that are going on, it all comes back to what matters to us most: affordability. The president and his cronies and his family members and stuff like that are getting paid. And the American people are suffering because of it. We know what the polls have shown. According to the new CNN poll, 70% of Americans disapprove of Trump's handling of the economy, a benchmark that never crossed 50% in his first term, even during the pandemic. 77% of Americans, including a majority of Republicans, say Trump's policies have driven up the cost of living in their own communities. Affordability was what he ran on. Affordability was what he swore. That Americans would not have to be concerned about with him, but absolutely positively would need to be concerned about when it came to Kamala Harris and her administration, if indeed she had won the White House, based off of what they saw Biden do. I point these things out. And I'm saying along the way, focus on that and not the other things. And then I read an article in The Guardian about yours truly, Stephen A. Smith. In the interest of full disclosure, the article was written by a former NBA player, Etan Thomas, who's a smart dude, who was a good player. And I'm not here to cast any aspersions on him as a human being. I think he's a bright brother who's clearly emotional and devoid of facts or an unwillingness to hear facts, and instead is getting caught up in his emotion and wants to talk about moi. And the only reason I'm bringing it up on this platform is because it's relevant to the kind of things that I'm going to talk about all show long. Let me read a couple of graphs as to what they said about me in this article, written, authored by Etan Thomas. What does he say? The title of the article, first of all, is "I Can Tell Stephen A. Smith Why Many Black People Don't Like Him." Okay. I won't bring up the fact that I go throughout the streets of America and I get black love from everywhere, but that's a story for another day. Instead, let me read to you what he said. A couple of graphs. "Far too often, Stephen A. Smith, you attack black male athletes in particular. Kyrie Irving, Kwame Brown, LeBron James, Terrell Owens, and Kevin Durant are just a few of your targets with the passion and vitriol you just don't reserve for white athletes and white executives. It doesn't stop there, though. You parrot right-wing talking points, as you did earlier this year, when you said that racism isn't as prevalent in the United States as some on the left claim. You went on to argue that most Americans judge people based on their character rather than skin color, which is not the experience of most black people in the United States. In the midst of ISIS brutalization of large parts of the country, you blamed Renee Good for her own death at the hands of federal agents. You didn't claim that people celebrated ICE under Obama, but are condemning Trump. That's not the only time you were sympathetic to the president. You called Democrats' efforts to hold Trump accountable in the courts as lawfare." End quote. "It's particularly galling for black people when you chastise black athletes at the same time as minimizing a president who is convicted of 34 felonies. You're not much better with black politicians. You attacked Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett for not being respectful enough to Trump." I stopped there. The misrepresentations that I read in print about the things that I say sometimes are just nauseating. It makes me want to throw up. It's a lie. It's a lie. First of all, on the issue of the black athletes, ladies and gentlemen, I cover sports as my day job. If one black athlete is going against another and I'm calling the athlete out for his lack of production, I'm obviously applauding the other athlete that succeeded, did I not? And if you do something that ends up in the police blotters, am I supposed to ignore it? And if you do something in the world of sports that compromises the position of your team, and I'm talking about that and the detrimental effect that you had on the team, because that's my job to cover the team as a beat writer and a columnist and ultimately a pundit on television and radio, that's attacking a black athlete? Or is that pointing out the juxtaposition between that person and the 99% of them who don't find themselves in those predicaments? Because I celebrate them, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get to a more specific thing that was being said when it talked about how I parrot right-wing talking points. Do I parrot those talking points, or do I highlight what their talking points are so you will know what they are and know how to combat them effectively. Evidently, the Democratic Party didn't listen. Otherwise, Trump wouldn't be back in office. You impeached them twice. You convicted them of 34 felony counts. But somehow, some way, we live in a society where you can't vote if you're a convicted felon, but evidently you could be the president. Nothing stopping you. Make it make sense. How in the hell can you be prohibited from voting as a citizen because you're a convicted felon? But the Constitution allows you to actually still run for president. And when? Do you know what they were saying during the campaign? That Donald Trump could actually be president from prison? Because there was nothing in the Constitution to prohibit it? Am I pointing that out and saying essentially it's fool's gold, because even if you get him, you can't get him because you can't stop him from winning? Who proved to be right? That would be me. There's another point to bring up. It said, I went on to argue that most Americans judge people based on the character of their skin rather than the skin color, based on their character rather than the skin color, which is not the experience of most black folks. I said that racism isn't as prevalent in the U.S. as some on the left claim. Do you have ancestors? Do you have grandparents? Do you have elder parents? Do you have aunts and uncles? Do you have people that were born well before 1967, which is when I was born? Because they all tell me it's nothing compared to what it once was. Getting to the back of the bus, not being allowed to eat in restaurants, not being allowed to use the same bathrooms and the same water fountains. Who said that racism didn't exist? What I said is that it's not the same. Of course it exists. But it's not the same. It's a crime to highlight that. How about this one? In the midst of ISIS brutalization of large parts of the country, you blame Renee Good for her own death. What I said was, it was heinous for the officer to do. Where's your decency? Yes, she put herself in that position. And from a legal perspective, the officer is going to get off. Because he was in front of the vehicle or near the side of the vehicle, and she drove off and almost hit him. And as a result, he shot. That's what I said. I didn't say it was the right thing to do. I didn't say he was justified in doing it. I said nothing's going to happen to him. Was I wrong? It also says that I claim that people celebrated ICE under Obama but are condemning Trump. What I said was that Obama deported 3.1 million people. And CNN and other networks were doing features on ICE. Trump hasn't deported that many yet. And there was this whole brouhaha that happened to be factually correct. Why is all of this relevant to today's subject that involves Trump having to go to China, dealing with the Strait of Hormuz, in the war with Iran? What's the relevancy to this and all of that? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the real issues that are going to determine how people vote in the midterms. The redistricting issue is incredibly unfortunate. Do I think it's intentional on the part of the Republicans to compromise the black vote and win additional seats that they could have in the House throughout the country? You damn right I believe that. Of course I believe that. But hasn't that always been the case? It's just that it usually happens every 10 years, not in the midst of administrations being in office and in the same breath in between those 10-year periods, every decade. You usually wait a decade to do that. and then maps are redrawn and places get redistricted with Democrats and Republicans both vying for additional seats. I've heard Minority Speaker Hakeem Jeffries speaking against this. I heard him talk about how the Republicans are doing this because they have no plan. I agree with him because I haven't heard much of a plan, nor have I seen it. But in order for me to bloviate over it exponentially, I got to sit up there and look at the Democrats and say, did you do it? And if the answer is yes, that's the game y'all play. There are no victims on Capitol Hill. The victims are us, the American people that are played like suckers all the damn time. But you didn't hear that, Eitan Thomas, did you? You went and wrote your article in The Guardian. I'd encourage everybody to go read it. Go do that. It ain't going to change me one bit. Because the truth is the truth. You can spin and misconstrue what I said and try to paint it as I said something that I didn't say. I'm talking about winning. You got Trump dead to rights. If you're the Democratic Party right now, have you ever heard Hakeem Jeffries sound as confident as he sounded when he talked about how they're going to reclaim the House of Representatives in the midterms? I haven't heard him this confident in years. Because he knows Trump's messing up. Have you seen Trump? One minute the reporters are stupid. Another minute they don't know what they're talking about. Have you seen the 3-hour span in which he put out like 25 posts on his Truth Social account? In 3 hours, from like 10 in the evening to 1 in the morning. I mean, it was straight out of Cat Williams doing stand-up when he sit up there and talked about Trump. Oh, I'll show it. Here it is. And sending out the post, losing his damn mind. Talking about former President Barack Obama should be arrested for treason. Talking about Kamala Harris. Talking about Democrats. Talking about everybody. While threatening South Carolina, that he's going to do to them what he successfully has done in Indiana because they didn't agree to his redistricting plan. So he backed like 7 candidates in primaries and 6 of them won. I'm talking about winning. I am fully aware of some of the highly questionable things that the Republican Party has done. Since civil rights in 1964, since voting rights in 1965, don't get me started with the white Southern strategy. Richard Nixon and others and the role they played in it, I kind of know. The point is, whether we like it or not, most American citizens are not going to care when the midterms arrive in about 25 weeks. And a presidential election arrives in 2028. They're going to care about affordability. And they're going to care about safety in the streets. My man Charlamagne Tha God for the Breakfast Club says that all the time. It ain't me. I don't want to steal his words. That's what he says all the time. Affordability and safety. That's what people are going to care about. Redistricting, of course, is important. Of course it is. But didn't folks fail to show up to the polls extensively for Kamala Harris compared to how many people showed up to the polls for Biden in 2020? Isn't that true? Isn't it true that you had young folks out here, some leaning towards Trump more than any Republican candidate had received in the modern era? Isn't it true that those who didn't lean towards Trump said, bump it, I'm not interested in voting at all because my vote doesn't matter? And you had politicians and pundits and surrogates and everybody in between coming to everybody in America saying, tell people to go to the polls and vote. Because you know it was a struggle to get them to do it. If it was a struggle to get them to do it, do you think they're paying attention to redistricting? I know they should be paying attention. I believe in the power of the vote. I believe that change is initiated by voting. I believe we owe it to our ancestors to get your behind to the polls. They died. They put their lives on the line. They put their well-beings on the line for us to have the right to vote. I get it. We're not talking about that, though. We're talking about what it takes to win. And simply avoiding being transactional when it comes to politics, as my man Tramell Thompson, all over social media, with his progressive page. Go look at it. Tramell Thompson, check it out, talks about being transactional as opposed to being unconditionally loyal to a party where you're sitting up there and you're transparent in your support for them so much, so flagrantly that they never have to work for your vote because they know they got it. The other side isn't interested in working for your vote because they know they'll never get it. And as a result, you're the only people that are disenfranchised. I'm talking about us. We don't talk about that. We got serious issues going on in this country, going on in this world. And somebody tried to use me talking about sports and people's performances on the field and inside the locker room and how beneficial or detrimental those behaviors were to the ultimate results of a team, and they tried to turn that into political fodder. That's a game for children, not grown-ass adults who understand the difference between the two, the dichotomy that should exist, and move forward accordingly. There's a lot of things to complain about. Inflation spiked 3.8% in April as the Iran war pushed the national average price of gas above $4.50 a gallon. Economists fear the energy shock is beginning to ripple through the broader economy, pushing up the cost of groceries, airfare, and electricity. Paychecks are shrinking. Yesterday's inflation report showed that prices are outpacing wages for the first time in 3 years, erasing gains in real purchasing power. As it pertains to the American households have absorbed a nearly 30% rise in consumer prices since the pandemic, a cumulative wound that has never fully healed, according to Axios's Courtney Brown. Debt is mounting. Americans are increasingly leaning on credit cards and loans to absorb rising costs, with consumer borrowing posting its biggest monthly jump in March since late 2022. You see what I just said? You want to get Trump's ass? That's how you get him. You want to get at the president and his administration? You point out this and accuse him of a dereliction of duty. Redistricting, again, is important. I understand. And as a black man, I'm appalled at anything that compromises us as a people and the potency we've worked diligently to grasp and to gather, spanning decades, if not centuries. It doesn't get lost on me. But I'm not one to sit over the microphone and talk about things that are futile. I'm about strategizing how to get things done to make sure that the results that we aspire to achieve ultimately happen, because we're pointing to the things that matter to the everyday American people. I'm not going to look at every Republican and think they're evil. And I'm not going to look at every Democrat and think they're good. But I can look at this president and say, he ain't doing a good job. He damn sure ain't doing the job that he's promised. All he's done is talk a bunch of mess and make sure him, his cronies, and his family members have been enriched. And it has been at the expense thus far of the American people. And it is my sincere hope that it costs the GOP the midterms at this moment in time. Why? Because they've been complicit in allowing him to get away with the nonsense that he has gotten away with, not prioritizing America's interest the way that he is supposed to prioritize it. Simple and plain. Simple and plain. He's going to have his cult following out there swearing up and down. He's doing the right things. But in the same breath, his Secretary of War is sitting up there talking about we have a strategy, but it's not convincing. His Vice President is talking to farmers and folks in the agriculture industry, begging them for patience. But this is the same people that were telling you folks on the left didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were incompetent. But affordability has become even more of an issue than it was before. Those are the issues that I'm talking about. That's my perspective. You want to come at me, at least have the decency to get it right. Don't interpret, don't construe. Don't mince words. Don't sit up there and talk about it seems like, it thought like, it sounded like this is what you did when it's not true. You full of it. That's the case with most folks these days. When they don't hear what they want to hear. There are people that are out there all about bitching and moaning. I'm trying to win. And I don't give a damn who's in the White House. It just doesn't need to be this man. Not with what we've seen thus far. Not with what we're fearing. And not with a multitude of qualified candidates on both sides of the aisle that would carry themselves differently, that would perform differently, and that would never say during wartime, at a time when gas prices and groceries and rent and mortgage and everything else is rising before our very eyes. And this man had the audacity, unmitigated gall to come out of his mouth and say, I'm not thinking about the American citizen one bit when it comes to the war with Iran. I'm not thinking about them at all in the cost of living. Really? I guess you are a billionaire after all, huh? Here's the problem. I know plenty of billionaires that would never think to say that out of their mouths. But Trump would. He has. So what you gonna do about it? Guard that. Pun intended. Straight Shooter with Stephen A. in the house. Back with your calls and more in a minute.